You're listening to the Top Woman Business Unusual Podcast. Now, the Top Woman Business Unusual Podcast. Learn from the greatest minds in business today. Interviews hosted by Ralph Fletcher. Learn how to improve business, get tips from industry leaders, and be motivated by real life experience. Top Woman, Business Unusual.
A bit of background to you both. So, Thabile Makgala is the executive, Eastern Limb for Implats. Thabile is the executive responsible for Implats operations in the Eastern Limb of the Bushveld Complex, where she has contributed significantly to the success of the group's mining operations in this region. Most notably, she oversaw 50% year-on-year safety improvement at Marula during financial year 2020. Thabile is a mining engineer with a Bachelor of Science degree in mining engineering, cum laude, and an MBA. She also holds a Mine Manager Certificate of Competency, as well as a Mine Overseer Certificate of Competency, and has close on 2 decades of service in the mining industry. She is a member of the South African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy and the Institute of Directors in Southern Africa. As a director and chairperson of Women in Mining South Africa, Thabile is a strong proponent of the advancement of women in mining and has been recognized globally for her work in this area. She is one of the 16 South African women featured in the 2018 list of top 100 global inspirational women in mining, compiled by the London-based non-profit Women in Mining UK. Thanks so much for joining us, Thabile.
Thank you, Fiona.
And Leanne, your intro. Leanne Samuel, Implats Group Executive, People, is an experienced human resources professional with more than 18 years' experience working across a variety of industries, including industrials, mining, telecommunications, and financial services. Before joining Implats, she held senior human resources management positions at Nedbank, Absa, Telkom, and Goldfields. With a broad range of competencies, Leanne is an innovative, conceptual, and analytical thinker who is able to resolve complex matters effectively and efficiently. Among her notable achievements, Leanne has been awarded HR Practitioner of the Year while at Nedbank, South African Award Association SARA Award Practitioner of the Year at APSA, and SARA Reward Strategist of the Year at Goldfields. She holds a BA Psychology degree and an Honours degree in Political Science, both from the University of Joburg. So welcome, Leanne. Thank you so much, both of you, for your time. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So, Thabile, why the mining sector? What excites you about it?
Sure, a lot excites me about the mining sector here, and I actually entered the mining industry as an 18-year-old matriculant.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So for me, I think it was essentially the gem of curiosity that made me down this path, and the opportunity to be offered a bursary by Goldfields at the time just really accelerated my career into the industry.
That's amazing. So as an 18-year-old, I mean, it's not a usual choice for a teenager. What was it? There's someone in your family. What was it that ignited that curiosity, which actually has led to a career and a very, very good one at that?
No, so there was not in my family. It was due to financial situations. So being raised by a single parent, in the trick that, I needed to really up the game and assist at home. So I started, looking at opportunities and where I could go after school. And engineering was, high on the agenda, as I was quite interested in engineering. And having all the disciplines, mining was the one that attracted me the most. So that paired with the opportunity then to get the bursary at Goldfields. But the requirement was that I worked the year prior to going to university. So I think it was in that year of working underground.
Wow.
Interest. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's incredible. And what a good choice. I mean, sometimes we spend our whole lives wondering what we're going to be when we grow up. and you knew pretty early on, so well done for that.
No,
and Leanne, what attracted you to HR?
So it's my passion and love for people, but okay. More importantly, transformational change. And when I started my career at Nedbank, I did specialize in remuneration, which is a very specialist HR field, and working with incentive schemes and rewarding and motivating the right kinds of behavior became a key passion of mine, because what I had realized that organizational culture really does is premised on how you reward, incentivize, motivate, attract, and retain workers. So I, when I started at Nedbank, I had already become very deeply involved in diversity and inclusion and women empowerment. So we had run a lot of diversity and inclusion training. It became a big part of the culture transformation initiatives. And I then focused on organizational development and organizational effectiveness to transform organizations. So I looked at all kinds of incentives, training programs, HR programs, talent management and succession planning to drive the development of previously disadvantaged individuals in South Africa, but with a big, very big focus on women. And when I got offered the opportunity to come into mining at Goldfields, that was the one thing that really interested me, was that mining was one of the least transformed industries at the time. So this was in 2008, and whilst they had made a lot of headwinds, the transformational change required, especially from a woman perspective, was very slow. So I saw that as an opportunity in terms of my vision, driving societal change, but through corporate South Africa. And we are very proud of the work that we have been doing in the mining industry when it comes to women empowerment and women development.
Thanks so much, Leanne. You've touched on a number of points that I'm going to ask you both to expand on. In just the upcoming minutes for the podcast, I'm going to throw open some questions to both of you, and I'd really like both of you to comment on them as you see fit. How popular is the mining sector as a career choice for women in South Africa?
So I don't think that it is incredibly popular at the moment. We have not spent enough time and energy to develop a woman in mining value proposition, whereby we can go to the universities and the schools and make mining a career of choice. So, you know, mining is seen to be quite a difficult industry because it has been male dominated for decades, and there are reasons for why it's been male dominated. I mean, a lot of the critical mining core positions are requires physical strength, you know, hard labor, and that's where we struggle to make inroads with regard to people wanting to go underground, working longer shifts, being away from their families and doing hard manual labor. But now that has changed because we are moving towards a zero harm with regard to safety culture, and we are looking at more at modernizing mines, mechanization, automation, which doesn't require the physical strength, you know, of a male. So we are repackaging the value proposition to make mining a more attractive career choice for the girls and future women leaders globally.
Thank you, Leanne. And Tabili, so just I'd like your opinion on that, and also what do you think we can do to encourage more women to choose mining as a career?
Thank you. So I think Leanne you know, has articulated quite well. Of all the engineering discipline, mining is really the least attractive. And I think in terms of marketing the career, the STEM career within the mining industry, there's still a lot of work to be done. But again, you know, when you look at organizations within the mining industry, you quickly see I wouldn't say the lack of transformation and diversity, but it's still there. And that could be a detractor. You know, you don't want to enter an industry or start a career where you can quickly see, you know, that your chances of progression may be limited to the unconscious biases that will play themselves out as we enter that industry. But I believe that a lot of marketing around mining as a career and the other opportunities within the mining industry, we still need to do a lot of work in that regard. And I think mining organizations do well in terms of attracting women engineers into the organization. The challenge comes with the retention and promotion of women within the organization. That is a challenge. If the environment is not enabling, it becomes a challenge. You know, you're working shifts, infrastructure is not in place. You soon realize that, you know, maybe I can work at another, you know, institution in another industry where the environment is enabling. So I do believe that we need to ensure that our environment is enabling for female mining engineers or female professionals within the mining industry to progress. And as Leanne said, you know, the mining industry was developed by men for men, and we need to start engaging men into the conversation of diversity so that we can retain women in the industry, you know, for them to progress.
So it's a question of attracting, like maybe marketing, as you were saying, really good marketing campaign, a really good bursaries. And then once the women do join, then it's a matter of retaining them and making sure that the environment is conducive to them wanting to stay. Because, I mean, you know, we need engineers in South Africa. It's a really important qualification. And it's really important, I suppose, to make the mining sector an attractive one where people will want to stay and not take their important qualification elsewhere.
Absolutely.
So just as a kind of a matter of interest, what is the percentage of women employed underground in admin positions and in management at Implats? I mean, I don't know whether you have those numbers at your fingertips or if you have just an idea of percentage.
So I can give you at group level, and Implats has operations in Zimbabwe, Canada, and then South Africa, with the bulk of our workforce in South Africa. We employ about 63,000 employees, and of the 63,000 employees, 50,000 are our own employees, 13,000 are contractors. So across the group, we're currently sitting at 11% female representation that's at group level. In South Africa, it's 12% of female representation. And then within the management level, we've got about 24% female representation in South Africa and 22% across the group. We would like to increase that, and we have set 2025 and 2030 targets to increase it. But as Tabila has said, there are challenges with increasing the targets, because we have to also take into account the availability of skills in the countries that we operate in, and also cultural nuances. For example, in Zimbabwe, you know, we've got very few female workers, but we have also, we've already started putting targets in place in Canada and in Zimbabwe to align them more to what we have achieved in South Africa. So if you think about women representation in the global mining workforce, it currently sits between 8 and 17%, and we are 12%. We'd like to increase that over the next 3 years to 15%, and we have developed plans at all levels within our organization to ensure that we increase representation. But the bulk of our women are still in your support services functions, admin functions. When you go into core mining and engineering roles, the numbers start to drop quite significantly.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Just and a kind of a follow on. So are you able to describe the gender diversity and inclusion strategies at Implats to improve these numbers? Tapile, have you got a comment on that?
Yes. So Implats has made quite a concerted effort in terms of diversity and inclusion strategies. So we first look at our policies to ensure that our policies do not discriminate and ensure that everyone is accounted for. Also, as part of our strategy is that we do look at data and we see what the data is telling us. And following from that data, we're then able to make informed decisions about diversity and inclusion. We have also commenced at Implats with gender mainstreaming. This is happening at all of our operations. Where we've got forums where we address issues of gender, diversity and inclusion, and addressing challenges for both men and women within the group. Also looking at succession, when you look at the board, for example, the Implats board, you will see that for some time, Implats was made by a male chairperson, and, you know, for the first time, Implats is actually chaired by a female chairperson. So those are all different strategies that Implats has implemented in terms of looking at diversity and inclusion, because it starts at the top, setting the tone at the top, and then it cascades down into the organization.
Always, definitely. That's 100% true. You mentioned just earlier when we were talking about looking forward and plans, the whole AI and mechanization. What are the plans there? Will that impact on the diversity and inclusion plans in terms of the skills needed to operate that machinery and technology?
No, absolutely. Sorry, Leanne. No, so before Leanne goes in, absolutely. I think without a doubt, you know, technology, mechanization are great enablers for diversity and inclusion. Because for the time, as Leanne alluded, it's no longer about physical strength, but it's also about mental capacity. It's about which is work that women can easily do and are very skilled at. And also when we look at the future of work and what technology and innovation, you know, will bring about, it affords us an opportunity to put women in those positions and get those skills from women, thereby increasing diversity and inclusion within the organization.
Mm. Yes, I see it as a really exciting game changer. Leanne, you were going to comment?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Tabile has said, there are also negative perceptions with regard to automation, mechanization, modernization in the mining industry, because it is a labor-intensive environment. And there are fears by many stakeholders that by introducing new technologies into the workplace would then create a platform for job losses, you know, retrenchment. So we have to look at it within that context, as well as the broader macro environment in which we operate, given the socioeconomic challenges that we have, which has been exacerbated by COVID. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, with regard to unemployment, especially in South Africa and Zimbabwe, unemployment rates are very high, and with industries being severely impacted by COVID, unfortunately, women have been the most impacted, you know. So if you look at the global stats, far more women have lost their jobs than men. So it's about going back and looking at how do we make the environment a conducive one. Because it's not only around attracting women into the environment, but we have to start addressing the challenges with regard to most of the things that Tabile has mentioned, because retention is going to become critically important when we move into modernization, mechanization, automation. Because for us, it's not only about retaining the skills, but there is going to be a war for talent, you know, within mining, because every single mining company have set big, hairy, audacious goals with regard to increasing their women representation, but the pools from which we draw those skills then becomes, you know, we all recruiting from the same pools. So we have to look at career advancement, progression, development, succession planning, remuneration and incentives for women to ensure that we are able to retain them. And it needs to be at a deeper level. You know, I think for years, and I'd love to get Tabile's view on it, you know, we've just been dealing with women in mining at a very superficial level. You think you put a band-aid on the wound and the wound is going to disappear. But I still maintain that within mining, there is major structural transformational change that needs to happen. This is not just putting a band-aid on a wound. We need to think about it differently.
I'd love to hear from you, Tabile.
No, absolutely. It has been artificial, maybe a bit harsh, but it has been about artificial change. We need systemic change, mm-hmm. and have not arrived at. And until our decision makers buy in into the idea of diversity, inclusion, and making change, I think the road to systemic change is really going to be a hard one. And we're not there yet. We, you know, we've made progress, but absolutely not there yet.
And what do you see as possible drivers to ensure that that change happens at a leadership level? Decision-making, policy-making?
Yeah. So as I said, you know, it starts at the top. It starts at board level where they set the tone. It's the CEO who also needs to cascade that accountability down into the organization. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, change will happen when our male counterparts, you know, buy in into the idea that the industry needs to transform. When they are honestly involved in the conversation, that's when we are going to see change. Because unfortunately, you know, amongst ourselves as females within the industry, we can set the strategies. But when it comes to the implementation of the strategies, we are definitely going to need their assistance to make that change.
Definitely. I'd like to just pick up on something that Leanne said a bit earlier about the pool, the shrinking of the pool, the talent pool. So do you think that this kind of would then, we were talking about marketing, et cetera, for the mining sector. Do you think then that marketing should actually start at school level, where you then are going to actually grow your pool and make sure that you have the talent to choose from?
No, absolutely. Funny enough, I was reading a report by McKinsey this morning stating why we're actually leaving the industry. It was a very insightful article. But as far as the pool is concerned, you know, the mining industry and mining companies catch the pool at university level. But that's too late.
Exactly.
STEM careers and education is actually being introduced at primary school level as we speak. So at primary school level, where the curiosity is still there, build on it at high school level. Go and market what the mining industry is about, STEM careers industry, at a high school level. So we are checking from there, and we feed that pool at varsity. We sponsor the bursaries, 50-50 split between our males and female bursars, and then we get them into the organization. I think that's how we're going to build the pool. But if we're going to be coaching from each other and, you know, advance, I think we've missed the boat.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Tiana, we do participate in many school programs at all of our operations. Yeah. So when we talk about diversity and inclusion and women representation, it is part of a broader strategy, but not human resource strategy. It's part of our broader sustainability strategy, right? So what are all of the levers that we need to have in place to ensure that we have a sustainable business into the future? So in mining, we've moved away from just safe production. There are other things that we need to focus on, and it's around ESG. So we have developed ESG strategy for the group, which looks at environmental, social, and governance. And that encompasses diversity within the company, but also within the broader community. So we have a social performance strategy, and our social performance strategy is to uplift the communities where we operate. And as part of our social performance strategy, education is a key pillar of that strategy. And we partner with the local municipalities, local government, provincial government, the traditional leaders, like in Rustenburg, the Royal Bafokeng King Nation is a major stakeholder of ours because they own the land on which we mine. So we have programs for learners, which includes early childhood development. We do lots of mentoring and tutoring of the learners from primary school to high school. And we also provide support to the educators, the teachers, as well as the principals. And there are a number of schools in Rustenburg, for example. There are 33 schools that we sponsor. But Tabile, being the chairperson of Women in Mining South Africa, they have also embarked on an initiative to do a career booklet, which will be then communicated and shared at school level and at university level. But going forward, we do want to increase the percentage of kids in the school to focus more on girl learners, and then also to who we give our bursaries. And we'd also like to expand from just being the STEM careers to also arts and other occupations that supports the mining industry. So we would like to have a more skewed distribution of bursaries, learnerships, and school support for women. But now, when we talk about diversity and inclusion, I think we need to understand what diversity and inclusion means. And I like to use the analogy of going to a party and being invited to a party. You can be invited to a party, you can have a seat at the table, and you could be asked to dance on the dance floor. Then it's embraces diversity and inclusion. But when you are just invited to the party and you sit at the table and you're not asked to dance, that only captures the diversity part. It doesn't capture the inclusion part. And with all of these awareness campaigns and training, we would like to focus more on inclusion, because it's not just about diversity. The meat is really in the inclusive nature of the work environment.
Mm. Thanks, Deanne. I've just, like, as you're talking, I was wondering, do you have these programs in areas where you aren't based? So do you only go into the schools in the areas in which you mine, or do you have a strategy that works right across the country?
Tabby, do you want to answer that?
Sure. So, Fiona, I think our priority is around the communities within which we operate. So we give priority in terms of sponsoring those schools and sponsoring those students. Mm-hmm. But we progress. You know, you'd want to look at your labor sending areas and see how you can also influence and contribute in that regard. So I think it's a strategy where we start with the immediate communities and then we go to labor sending and the wider environment and community.
Thank you. And I just, one last thing to pick up on was the career booklet. Is that focused on the mining career choices? And is it like an information booklet to help the students kind of make their choices?
No, absolutely. It is to help the students make their choices, but also to just market and advertise on what else is out there. So it's not just about engineering. Within the mining industry, you can work in finance and what that entails. Within the mining industry, you can work in HR and what it entails. So we want to cover the whole value chain of mining, from exploration, you know, right through sales, marketing, so that we get everyone interested in a career in the mining industry.
That's great. That's a really fine initiative. Just as a point of interest, the platinum sector is one of the few that has shown impressive growth during COVID. Why do you think this is? Tabile, do you want to take that and then Jan?
To be honest, the economics assisted, you know, the resources industry a great deal. I think we can't get away from that the prices were good. But also for you to be able to play within, you know, the industry, you also need to produce. So I think a combination of great performance from the organization, great production safety performance, which was further complemented by the great prices, really did enable the resources sector to flourish within the past financial year.
Yeah, it was really impressive, because I was looking across the primary, secondary, and tertiary sectors, and platinum would just shut the lights. I mean, just it was a growth right across the board. And many of the other sectors were just like really sad, you know, huge losses. So congratulations to your sector. Leanne, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think we were very lucky. We do operate in a very cyclical environment, and we are price takers, so we don't determine the price at which our metals are sold. Unfortunately for us, you know, we have very short summers and very long winters. So the previous 7 years before, we were in a down cycle.
You like Game of Thrones.
Yes. So fortunately, the universe or whatever came to our rescue, because the commodity price just started to turn as we went into COVID. So we were very fortunate, because we were, and the government and our stakeholders were very supportive during COVID, even with the lockdowns. We were still able to operate and to sell our metals. But because we've got our own ecosystem, one day you need to visit our mines so that you understand. We actually run as though we are a little country. You know, we provide water to the communities, we provide power, we build roads, we build schools, we build community halls, we have clinics and hospitals. But we have a major hospital in Rustenburg. Mm-hmm. And we've got a very strong medical team with about 800 healthcare workers, and they are all predominantly women. All of our healthcare workers are predominantly women. But we were at the forefront of COVID-19, and we worked very closely with the Department of Health, you know, putting protocols in place, supplying medical equipment, PPE, to the community hospitals, and we did lots of food parcels and community relief. But internally as well, we were able to, build the awareness around COVID, put the protocols in place, and continue to operate even within the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I'm pleased to say that Implats was the first mining company that got its vaccination site approved. And we have been vaccinating our employees as well as the community members and the smaller mines around the area. So, you know, if ever it was a great time to work for in the mining industry, where we are really at the forefront of things, now is the time, because we've really, really made a material societal difference during this time. So we've seen, whilst we are making profits and things are going well, let's focus on our stakeholders, on our communities. We don't only want to comply. We want to go beyond compliance, because for us, transformation is a strategic business imperative. And that's why we are looking at beyond compliance initiatives with the schools, with women in mining. We participate in like the Standard Bank Top Women Initiative, in many initiatives between myself, Tabile, and Karla, together with the other executives. We really, really are very passionate about increasing the women representation numbers at Implats.
Thank you so much, Rianne. Tabile, I'm just interested, how did COVID impact on your role and responsibilities at Implats?
COVID was one of those challenging moments in one's career, because you were faced with a situation with a lot of ambiguity, and within that space, decisions had to be made. Operations to continue, lives had to be saved. So it was a constant state of regulations being updated, how you respond to those regulations. But for me, most importantly, when it came to COVID and the response to the workforce, it was really about really being empathetic, because you realize, you know, that here you are dealing with humans who are going through, you know, the most, and we had to meet them where they were at. So a lot of empathy had to come through, really had to engage with our employees, really find out how they are, their well-being, their mental health, because a lot of our employees did get impacted. So COVID really was a challenging time for us leaders, because we had to lead differently. It was about getting results, but also really looking after the human side. But, you know, it was one of those moments where the industry did come out very well and did a lot, as Leanne has said, in terms of trying to fight the COVID pandemic.
Okay, that's great. I'd like to ask a question and ask you both to answer it. What have been some of your major milestones in your careers?
So I'll go. yeah. So I think I've been very fortunate, you know, that I've entered the industry, which firstly I'm very passionate about, and purpose. There's a purpose for why I am in the industry. So it's not like I went looking for the recognition, but I think being recognized as one of the top 100 women, inspirational women in mining, was quite something that one can be proud of. And just a couple of weeks ago, also being announced as one of the top 50, you know, women in South Africa by the Mail and Guardian is also, you know, was quite an achievement for me. Also getting recognition of the work that we continue to do in the industry in terms of making sure that, you know, the industry is a representative industry and that everyone feels included, you know, within the space that they work in.
That's fantastic, and congratulations.
No, thank you.
Moving to Leanne.
I think what I'm most proud of is that I've always been able to drive change in organizations. And from a very young age, I mean, I was the youngest executive to be appointed at Goldfields, and I was the only female executive on the executive committee at Goldfields. And when I came into Implats as well, there were very few women. And I think my proudest moment in my career was when we were able to transform our board and our executive committee. And sitting here today, I think I can confidently say that the Implats board and executive committees are the most transformed leadership committees in the mining industry. I don't think any of the other mining companies have achieved what we have at board level and executive level. And I am very privileged to work with lots of very smart, competent, dynamic females, and we have been able to drive the change that we want to see in the world, and that makes my heart happy. So I'm very delighted in where my career has been and the differences that we will still continue to make.
Thank you. That's inspirational from both of you. I mean, just as a kind of an aside, how do you both relax? Do you relax?
Relax?
No, how do you spell that?
So I'm an avid reader, so I love reading a lot. I like taking a book with me on holiday or during the weekends and just reading a couple of leadership books, you know.
Do you have the physical copy, Tabile? You like physical books?
No,
me too, yeah.
No, I've got the physical one. I've got the Kindle, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I'm also big on the, on page turning, actual page turning. No, do you have any favorites that you're busy with at the moment, or any ones that have like really impacted on you? Any books? Fiction, non-fiction?
Yeah, no, I read a lot. So I think for me, the one that comes to mind is definitely The Alchemist.
My
all-time favorite.
Oh, we are both big, Tubby. That's my favorite book of all time, too.
That has to be my all-time. And also Robin Sharma, you know, leader who leads without a title. Also for me, one of my favorites. Currently now, I am reading The CEO Next Door. Yeah.
That's interesting. Wow, thank you for that. And Leanne, how do you relax?
I'm a very active person. I run. I train 3 days a week with a personal trainer, and I do rock climbing and I hike as well. So I've got a very active lifestyle. So I do make sure that I do find work-life balance. I also love my quizzes. I do quizzes all of the time, and I play Sudoku. And then aside from that, I do read, and I love Netflix.
Yes, I think Netflix is really, Netflix has really become part of everyone's survival strategy. All right, that's great. Thank you. We're nearly nearing the end of this. It's been a really lovely conversation. But I just want to take us to the Top Women Conference, where we'll be discussing why women are key to economic transformation and sustainable development. And just to get your perspectives on why you feel that's true and what we can do to make sure that it actually happens.
Okay, so I'll go. So I'm looking, you know, very forward to the conference. And for me, I think there's very strong interconnections between women economic empowerment, diversity, and sustainability. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I think a prerequisite for sustainable development is ensuring that our women are economically empowered. And, you know, study after study will tell you that when you empower a woman, you actually empower an economy, because women are the very people who take their income and plow it back into the communities and into their families, you know, thereby empowering everyone around them. So, I'm looking forward to the discussions there, because I definitely believe that more can be done to empower women on the social side, economic side, and especially on the political side, so that they elevate into those political positions and are able to make decisions on behalf of a wider community.
That's lovely. I look forward to the discussion. I really do, too. Yeah. Leanne?
Well, I do think that women are nurturers. We are builders. We are mothers. We are protectors. We are cautious with the way we view the world, because we aim to preserve and to protect. And I think women coming into the corporate space and being financially empowered does create a lot more stability and securities in societies. And I think women play a fundamental role in the economic sustainability of our households, our communities, and then societies at large. I don't believe, though, that it should be a man's world or it should be a woman's world. I think we are, we should learn how to work together, to complement each other, and to not want to compete, you know, because I think together we can achieve so much more. It doesn't have to be an us and them. Women are very good at building up. We don't break down, we build up. And the way we go about things just means that, you know, we can contribute to a safer, healthier, and more productive world and economy. So yes, we know how to contribute, but I think we can help to make things a lot more sustainable over time.
Thank you so much for that. I'm now back at the penultimate question. What exciting plans do you both have for the upcoming year? End on a positive note. Do you want to go, Thabile?
Sure. So I'm very excited about this year, both from a professional perspective as well as a personal perspective. So in the industry, we start off looking on the business side, our financial year in June to July. So professionally, looking forward to all the innovation and technology projects that we're implementing at one of the operations that I look after, which is Marula, because that's where we are definitely going to be able to see the impact of technology and what it can do to the organization and the bottom line. I'm looking forward to us overcoming COVID, you know, with mass vaccination, so that people can go back, you know, to doing some of the activities that they were doing prior to COVID. So that people can relax and, you know, get out of the state of anxiety that most of us find ourselves in. So I'm looking forward to that. Just health and prosperity on the business as well as personal.
Lovely. Thank you. And Leanne?
I am looking very forward to some of our social projects that we are about to launch, which is going beyond compliance and making higher social impacts with higher returns on investment. So that's a very exciting space to be in at the moment. And then also to the ongoing development of our organization to lead some of the organizational changes that needs to happen. So the company that we are today may be a little bit different when we look ahead in a year from now. And then on the personal side, also just to continue to beat COVID and to be able to travel some more. Hopefully that will happen. And I've just started Spanish lessons. So in a year from today, I hope that I will be able to speak Spanish.
And to go to Spain.
And I'm going to Spain, yes.
Lona, wonderful. That sounds like a great. Well, that's great. You're putting your building blocks in place. That's wonderful. Okay, guys, it's been really lovely. I'm just going to end off now with asking you if you could both give a message to the young women out there who are probably struggling to survive, struggling to maintain optimism. If you could just send some words of support, that would be lovely. Tabile, do you want to go?
Yeah, sure. So a last passing shot would be, you know, to the ladies out there, as we enter our careers, we do find challenges. But it is important to run that race. You need to remember why you started and run that race. You must stay the course, and it's absolutely vital that you finish strong. Because, you know, we are there for a reason, and if we are not the change makers, then we can't expect other people to be those change makers.
Lovely. Thank you. And Leanne?
Stay positive. Believe in yourself. You can achieve whatever you set your mind to. The sky is really the limit. And don't see failure as failure, but accept it as part of your learning and growth journey. Knowledge is power. Be curious, be courageous, and be bold. Believe in yourself and love yourself. It's going to be a wonderful journey.
That's really wonderful. Thank you both so much. I've loved the conversation, and I look forward to seeing you at the conference, and hopefully we'll speak again soon. It'll be really great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Fiona.
Thank you very much, Fiona. Thanks, Tabile. Bye-bye.
Bye.